Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday.
Happy Throwback Thursday and soon to be Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Oh, man. What a year.
God, what a year.
I can't even what believe it's gone year. By.
What a year. I will say this, though. Once again, we don't espouse any specific political philosophy.
Absolutely not.
Love who you love. Do what you do.
Live your life.
Live your life. Live your dreams. But this year has been a rough year. God.
I feel like our whole life has been a reality show. I mean, like...
Your whole life was a reality show for a very long time.
Last year, the year before. Yeah, I mean, but for real, it just feels like... Every episode of this year has been so in the news and everything, just dramatic and epic and like,
but
is this real? Is this really real life? You know,
I would, between all the people we've lost and all the things going on in the world, I would like to just take a moment and say one thing. If everything else has been so negative for us, the bright spot I think this year has really been Broadway.
Rob Schneider, well put.
I mean, if nothing else, we have that to cling to. If nothing else, this is the year that gave us such things as Bright Star, Waitress, Shuffle Along, Hamilton, Hairspray Live, an amazing Tony Awards broadcast. What else am I forgetting?
No, there's countless
the
things.
Humans. I mean,
not to mention, like, the David Yazbek musical that's at Atlantic Theater Company. I mean, like, just everything is thriving, it feels like, right now in our art form.
Yeah.
And I feel quite proud to be a part of it, or just in some small way to be a fan of it and to be a part of it, but to love it, the way we do.
I agree. And the way that our community rallied around Orlando, mm-hmm. the way our community rallied around the election results... If nothing else this year, we at least have our theater to cling to. So thank you so much, everyone who's created something this year, regardless of if you were doing it in New York or London or Tulsa, Oklahoma, no matter where you were, if you were in a community theater, school production, Broadway, we thank you so much for sharing your art with us because we really did need it this year.
Well, you know what? Art is therapy, right? You know,
art is therapy.
It is. And I love those, you know, reading in the last 2 months when people say, all right, time to get back to work. Time to make the art.
Get back to work.
You know, and I think that's a really good point.
Were you a West Wing fan?
Oh, yeah.
You were?
I am.
In fact, I
can tell you that I'm in the midst of watching it again. I never actually finished it. I always get to like the fifth season or sixth season, and then I kind of... But
then he left Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, and then I can always tell. And But I will tell you, the first three seasons to me, it's like watching Murder, She Wrote, Golden Girls, Friends, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers at night. You know, those are like the go-to. Like, yes. You know how you, I don't know if you guys out there do that, but you have your shows you watch when you like don't need to think, but you just want to be entertained. But for me, West Wing is it. Those characters are friends to me. Yeah. I feel like I know them. CJ Craig is like my friend. I remember working at 42nd Street Studios. I was assisting on A Tale of Two Cities, the musical. Remember that? And I was in the stairwell going up, and Allison Janney came down because she was doing 9 to 5, and I was like, CJ Craig. In my mind, I'm like, oh my God, I know you. You're CJ Craig. No, you're not. You're Allison Janney. You're awesome. You're a human being outside of that. But I was so dumbstruck because I feel so close to her.
Yes.
Because they are so relatable as their characters.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, I love West Wing.
In the end of the first episode, the last line that Martin Sheen has is he's heard all these horrible things happen. And he goes, all right, what's next? And I feel like that's what 2017 should be about. What's next?
That's good, Rob.
Let's keep moving forward. And my favorite thing this week...
Bring it.
...actually is about, I think, moving forward.
That's funny because mine is too.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Yeah, we didn't, and again, you guys, we did not... We do not plan. We don't tell each other our favorite things. We don't talk about it beforehand.
No.
We don't even try to come up with a theme.
No.
Like, anything that happens is purely coincidental.
It's inspirational.
That's right.
Mine is a musical.
Ooh.
1986. Four performances.
Okay.
All day seeing them, all day smelling them, all day listening to peddlers selling them. Rags.
Oh my, where Judy Kuhn, yes, in one Tony season
had to not only
be Cosette and sing a high C and floating, well, actually it was probably like a high B because it wasn't the reprise, but she's floating this high note, and then she's like, one more, rags, and she sings the title song to Rags.
And then she's Cosette first, right?
Yes.
And then she comes back on.
Yes.
So Rags is a musical that is one of my favorite musicals. Go ahead.
No, Charles Strauss, who wrote the music.
Yes.
If you were to be, I always say this, like, this man, Charles Strauss, who we've got to get on the podcast.
Oh, God, yes.
Charles Strauss, if you're like, hey, here's a song from Rags. And then you're like, hey, here's a song from Bye Bye Birdie. Oh, yeah. And here's another, you know, what in the middle of his career. What's another, like, you would not believe this is the same writer. This man, I cannot believe that he wrote the score to Rags.
Bye Bye Birdie. Applause. Annie. Rags. Nick and Nora.
Dance a Little Closer.
Dance a Little Closer.
Nobody said that.
Charlie and Algernon. Broadway musical.
Mayer. No.
I like Mayer.
Nobody loves Mayer.
I like Mayer. I don't love Mayer.
But Rags is really, really special, Rob. I think you're right.
I will concur with that.
Please.
So for those of you that don't know, Rags is a four performance only musical from 1986.
Wow.
Music by so we have Charles Strauss, we have Stephen Schwartz.
Yeah, he was
Wicked,
working. Yeah.
Stephen Schwartz. We have a book by Joseph Stein from Fiddler on the Roof, so we're entering territory that Mr. Stein knows quite well. And listen to this cast before I tell you the plot synopsis. I mean, all of this automatically sounds like a hit. Teresa Stratus, famous opera singer.
Like mega.
Like, yeah, the Meryl Streep of opera.
I would agree.
Right. Larry Kurt, our original Tony from West Side Story. Lonnie Price.
You know him pretty well.
I know Lonnie. Judy Kuhn, like, who you just mentioned, our original Cosette.
Who I'm obsessed with.
Dick Letestha Wilbur from Hairspray, if nothing else. Marsha Lewis, Matron Mama Morton. And Terrence Mann from Beauty and the Beast.
And Les Mis.
And Les Mis. So this is, I mean, this is a cast.
The musical is about immigrants that are emigrating over from Russia
to the United States. Specifically, it's about a woman named Rebecca and her son David. Rebecca's husband Nathan has gone ahead of her.
Right.
As soon as he landed in New York City, he has never wrote back to her in Russia. So he has gone MIA. And she is now coming over to New York to see if she can find her husband.
It's a great setup for a musical.
It's a great setup for a musical. And on the ship over, she befriends Avram and his daughter, right, Bella. That's Dick Letessa and Judy Kuhn. And it's really about the immigrant experience. It's about celebrating what immigrants bring to this country. It's about celebrating our history. It's about celebrating our heritage. And it's celebrating how this country was really built, especially in the early part of the 20th century, on the foundation of what these immigrants have provided to us.
Totally.
My relatives, your relatives, our listeners' relatives.
The experience through Ellis Island, like, you know, post-Hamilton,
yes,
those immigrants that created the union that we have America today. But we're talking like the actual people that came to our country, that filled out our country, that are the reason why we are so great as we are today.
And that's what Rags covers.
Wow.
Now,
a topic for them to go after.
And what a topic. Immigration? I mean, come on. And the songs. I mean, the score, I think, is Charles Strauss's best score.
Definitely.
I really do. And that's no offense. I mean, the other stuff is great. That's like saying, do you want gold or more gold?
It's the most challenging score that I think he's done.
Well, I mean, the versatility, because it covers every single ethnic music that's imaginable, yep, that you're hearing at this time.
Yep.
And some of the songs that you might know, and if you don't know them, you should look them up. Children of the Wind, Blame It on the Summer Night, Brand New World. The issue that people had with this is why the show apparently wasn't very successful, was because it was trying to cover so much. They had gone through a number of directors. Things really weren't working in rehearsal, and nobody was really there to save it. But ideally, the main issue was nobody was there to streamline this story.
Right.
It was just too much. And the story that was very passionate, and the cast believed in it so much that on the fourth performance, the day before they closed, they all, as a cast in costume, marched from the Mark Hellinger Theater to TKTS and handed out flyers begging people to come see their show.
Gosh.
So can you imagine? There's Teresa Stratus and Lonnie Price and Terrence Mann handing out flyers saying, "Please come see us." And unfortunately, it didn't help. There've been plenty of revisions of it. I am hoping at some point that Encores is willing to take it on.
This is totally an Encores show.
I will not confirm or deny anything, but I have heard that it's not a favorite amongst those making the decisions at Encores, so that's why it might not be done at some point. Who knows whether or not that's true, but I'm hoping at some point. I hope that we see it, though, with its full orchestration. I hope that we do see it in its epic fullness, because the story really is epic in scope. And like you said, if you want to see a clip of it, go to the Tony Awards in 1987, because it was nominated for Best Musical. And what's really funny, like you said, is Judy Kuhn sings from Les Mis, and then she does Rags. But she actually went up on her lyrics.
In Rags?
In the Rags number. So if you listen, she repeats a little bit of a section.
Oh, I never even realized it.
Yeah,
well, I can't wait till we interview Judy, because it's like,
oh my God.
And she, but like, come on, you can you imagine being, you know, in one show that's up for a Tony Award, and then you're actually where you sing soprano, and then another show where you're belting your face off, and you got to do both numbers. And how many people have done two different numbers on a Tony Award? I would like to know that statistic.
Yeah,
you know,
listeners, if you know that answer, that's
great. That's a really good one. Who else has done two different numbers? Not including the host. So it's not like Hugh Jackman did like a song and dance number where he bounced up and down the whole time and then like another
two nominated musicals.
Like where you were nominated for that is fascinating.
Yeah.
And I'm blown away that she performed in two different numbers that year.
I really hope we get
completely
to speak to
different.
Her. There is a cast recording of the show.
There is.
But to be aware, it does not feature Teresa Stratus in it. She missed a lot of performances, and people said she was not the happiest having this experience.
And it was made quite a couple years after it, too. The cast recording was made.
91.
It was way after it closed.
If you want to get Rags done, please get it done. But also, if anyone out there has any sort of contact information for Charles Strauss, we are trying to get him, and we keep running against roadblocks on him.
Yeah.
So if anybody knows any way to get to Mr. Strauss, we would love to have him.
We need that story.
And celebrate him and everything he's given us.
Yeah.
So, hopeful, optimistic, looking towards our future. What's next, Rags?
I like that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And so to transition, mine is also a musical the musical itself, the subject matter is not hopeful, but it is meant to remind us of why it's important to remember certain episodes of the past. And my musical is a musical and a cast album written by a very famous songwriting team, just like Charles Strauss and Stephen Schwartz is as well. But this show was also a quote-unquote flop. And this show was done in 2010. So very recent, my
2010?
Friend. That's right. And this show to me is, I would say it's on my top 10 list. It's a show that I was so completely undone by this show and by this piece of theater that and then I had to see it again when the close, just like we talked a couple weeks ago about High Fidelity and how, you know, when I saw it was closing and I thought I got to see that again. Well, this show did the same thing to me and I thought I need to see this again. This is such important theater making. I think this piece was ahead of its time. I think that audiences weren't prepared for it. I think that even if it came out this after Hamilton this year, it would do better in the theater than it did in 2010. I'm even saying 6 years is all the difference it makes. This is it's based on a true story. You know the songwriting team because they always use a theme to showcase their vehicles. For Cabaret, they used Weimar Germany.
Scottsboro Boys.
Oh
my God, Kevin! What a great choice.
This piece is so important to me, and it has the problem that like Mac and Mabel has, in that it ends sad. This is based on the true story of 9 African American men, boys really, who were on a train in 1931 in the South, and that two white girls said they were raped, and they accused the nine black boys of doing it. It wasn't them, but they were accused and convicted. There was an overturn. The trial was hung jury, and then they tried it again, and they thought they were going to get free. And of course, no, of course they did not. 4 of them were eventually released, but like the lead guy Hayward, he died in prison. One of the guys killed himself when he was released. I mean, it was truly the most despicable, you know. We're still dealing with this today, for the love of God. And this is not a politics. This is not all of that. But, you know, this is a very important story that needs to be told. And John Kander and Fred Ebb, who wrote Chicago, who wrote Cabaret, who wrote countless others, you know, musicals that you all know, I would say this is one of their very final collaborations. Yes, The Visit was on Broadway a couple years ago, but The Visit was done back in 2000. I saw it in Chicago in 2000.
With Angela Lansbury?
Cheetah Rivera was still in it then. But at the Goodman. But this Scottsboro Boys was done in 2010. They started in around 2004, and then of course Fred Ebb died, unfortunately. But then John Kander finished it. But it was one of their last, you know, collaborations together. It was the show. I find it a tragedy when a brilliant show does not last because it can't find the audience. Or the audience doesn't find the show, however you want to say it. And there's a lot of controversy because, as my listeners may know, you know, Kander and Ebb often frame their storytelling with a device, with Chicago. It's vaudeville. So it's like everything is framed underneath this sort of vaudeville show. Well, you remember that the original production was not a hit. You know, it wasn't until the revival that Walter Bobby directed that it became a hit. I think the same is going to be true about Scottsboro Boys. Mm. I think it's going to be revived someday, and everyone's going to be like, what the hell were we thinking at the time? Were we just not ready for this yet?
Wow.
Because the music and the score is perfection. It is truly perfection. So they frame this story under a minstrel show. Now, the minute you say minstrel, everybody, you know, you get a little like, okay,
yeah,
we got to deal with this part of our history. But you are a professor of musical theater history.
It's a major part
and
of
you
our
know
history. Yeah.
That when we teach our students that the minstrel shows are a part of the reason why we're singing musical theater songs today. Vaudeville, operetta, minstrel shows.
It's the first entertainment form that is created in the United States.
It's inherently American.
It is inherently
now,
American.
Now, it has racial undertones,
oh,
just
yes.
like everything that it's American did back then and still does to this day. So anyway, this musical has one white actor and then all black actors. The white actor is the interlocutor. He's the host of the evening. John Cullum plays this role. How awesome is that?
Yeah, it's perfect.
And then
casting.
All black actors who play all the other parts. The two black guys play the two white girls. And they've written all the songs. They go in and out of minstrelsy, but then they'll be really serious. And then there's always an undertone. There's an edge.
Yeah.
Every part of this score.
And let's give a shout out really quickly to the brilliant direction and choreography of Susan Stroman.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So full disclosure here, my best friend, my best man in my wedding, his name is Derek Kobe, and Derek was in the cast. He played there's two brothers that are in it, Andy, and I forget the other name, and he played the brother. And so he would tell me, the show started at the Vineyard Theater off Broadway, and then it transferred to Broadway in 2010. And Derek was in it, and he would tell me all about it. And he said that the process was Stroman and David Thompson, who did the book, and all of the writers, everybody, it was a labor of love. They worked together. If Stroman was like, hey, what do you think we do this? And the set was chairs and planks.
Yeah.
Period.
chairs, planks. They made a prison, they would rearrange it. They made, you know, the courtroom, they'd rearrange it. Chairs and planks, you know. When the show started, lights, you know, you see a stage with 10, 11 chairs in a V, and then the music starts and they come down the aisles of the theater and walk onto stage. And it was, to this day, it's like one of the best pieces of theater I've ever seen in my entire life because of that. And the collaboration process that she brought, you can see that it's not just you do this, you walk there, you hit your head on, you know, no. You can tell that they are, it's so organic within all of them. It's beyond special. I mean, the experience of watching that history and watching that. So, you know, full disclosure, yeah, it doesn't end happy. Like they don't get off well, but the point to me of the musical is don't forget these Scottsboro boys. Like, don't forget that, like, that's our history. Like, we have to celebrate that, and we have to honor that, and we have to learn from that.
These immigrants and these Scottsboro boys. So 2016, welcoming into 2017, and as we're moving forward and looking into a bright, wonderful future, let us not forget our past. And what better way to celebrate our past than by listening to both Rags and the Scottsboro Boys? We will see you all in 2017. Thank you so much for making 2016 such a wonderful year for both of us.
Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for spending a year with us.
Happy New Year. Take care.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.